Hi, everybody. This is Tracy, and I have got an incredibly special guest for us today. Her name is Renee Milne, and she is here to talk to us because she is a global life dating and relationship coach. She's a best-selling author of 2 books on relationships, and she coaches people to understand how childhood trauma affects every decision in our life and how it affects all of our relationships. And I'm so excited to bring you her because she's going to teach us a lot about the traumas that could have caused us to make choices in our life. And this is part of the accountability portion of my podcast and my YouTube channel. Let's go beyond learning about the narcissists for those of us that are ready and learn how we can make a difference in the patterns of our future. So thank you for joining us, and let's welcome Rihanna.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I would love you to tell my audience, what is a relationship coach and how did you start doing this?
Okay, very good. Well, I'm a certified and global life, dating, and relationship coach and a certified clinical trauma professional. For 18 years, I was a licensed mental health counselor and a licensed addiction counselor. And with time, I found that I was really much always coaching. I just like the motivational, inspirational, and educational model for transformation and change, which is really quite different than the typical therapist. So when coaching came to be, I went and got certified in both singles and couples coaching from 2009 to 10 and a half, and decided to create a really awesome coaching program. And I have one for couples called Relationship Rescue and for singles called Dating to Mating. And I help men, women, straight, LGBT population, younger, older. The common element between them all is all my people had some kind of pain around childhood dating or their marital relationships. And then they come to me to help build their confidence, self-esteem, get knowledge about what emotionally healthy, evolved, and conscious relationship looks like.
I think this is such an important part of the puzzle, if you will, for my viewers. Most of us are dealing with or have dealt with an abusive person. You know, we like to call them narcissists, but of course we're just self-diagnosing there. What is the common thread is that it didn't work and that there's some accountability here. And I know that you specialize in the childhood trauma of what has happened to us and how that affects us. How does it hold us back if we've had these kind of traumas? And just while you're there, like, what kind of traumas? So they're not just childhood. They could be a relationship trauma, right?
Yeah. Well, while have your listeners go get a piece of paper and a pen, because I'm going to give them the 10 most common traumas of 18 that were mentioned in research. But as they're looking for that, I'll chat a little bit about what happens. So when we're very young and innocent, things that most people say, well, my childhood was fairly normal. There were some bumps in the road. But really, they're more traumatic to the younger person than people realize. And what happens is a lot of times how we handle them, coping mechanisms as children, we start squelching them or hiding from them, and we dive them deep into our unconscious. And then when we fall in love, like a big arc, this is when most of the toxic emotional triggers come out in a love relationship. So I'll mention the 10 traumas, like I said, and then how it can come out later. And really what we do is we make the unconscious conscious. We examine what are the triggers, the level of severity of the triggers, which I rate from 1 to 10. And everybody's a different puzzle. So when I work with my clients, I see where their initial trauma has come from and what is showing up now for them in their relationships, past or present. Mm-hmm. And then we educate them on what they need to make that go away, because trauma stays stored in the brain and the body. Mm-hmm. So we have to bring it out, work through it, and then, you know, become consciously aware while you're starting to date again. What is emotionally healthy? What does it look like? What are the rules? What are the questions you ask? So you really have a lot of confidence then around dating. And if it's a couple that comes to me and they're in that toxic cycle of pain, fighting, then making up and fighting again, walking on eggshells, that whole toxic thing, that we work on the communication skills around what were each of their traumas while young and why are they triggering each other. So it's a whole different way of communicating with your partner that none of us were taught, mm-hmm. not even me with a triple master's in applied clinical and counseling psychology. None of this I heard in my master's program. Wow. And it's only after a toxic relationship happened to me with someone I describe as one of the emotional manipulators in my book, Love Beyond Your Dreams, about, you know, many of the emotional manipulators were narcissists as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I noticed that in him. I'm like, what does he have? And nothing was described in the DSM-4, which is a psychotherapist's little diagnostic manual. And it's still not in there. So this is pretty new cutting edge information. Only about a week ago did 60 Minutes have a report that Oprah Winfrey gave. And I was really happy. And I'm like, yes, they're finally talking about this childhood trauma, but they did not go into how it impacts an adult except for medical issues mm-hmm. and illnesses later in life due to constant years of stress.
Yeah.
But they mostly focus on the children going through trauma at that time. Yeah. But she said something really fascinating. She goes, oh my gosh, of course she was someone who had childhood trauma, severe trauma. And she goes, knowing this changes everything about my life completely, the way she perceived things. Wow. So, you know, this is so new that a lot of people don't know about it. So I appreciate Tracy, you know, having me come on and talk about it.
Well, I appreciate this because, you know, many of my listeners are on the way out of the dark. You know, okay. we've got a lot that are starting out and just learning about this kind of behavior, and they're not taking the accountability on themselves yet because they're in that fight, flight, or freeze kind of a position. But mm-hmm. I have a lot of people that are ready to date again, and they're just afraid. Yeah. So
well,
I'm so
fears are from the childhood trauma. So let's go into top 10. Now, mm-hmm. remember, as I mentioned them, keep in mind you were very young and very innocent. You should have no guilt around this, no shame, because trauma happened to you. There's nothing you could really do. When we're young, we count on our parents. We need a home. We need food to eat. And we just exist and try in our own very little minds, you know, as children, how to deal with it. But most of us, we kind of squelch it and pretend it didn't happen, you know. So again, this is when you were young and innocent. So as I go through the list, try to really think back and be honest with yourselves. Did this happen to me? Okay. So number one, did your parents have any addiction? So drugs and alcohol, most people know about, but here's 10 addictions. Sex, so if your parent was a chronic cheater, porn, gambling, hoarding, spending, eating, gaming, TV watching. Now there's 10 right off the bat. There's other addictions that a lot of people don't think about, but the addiction always comes first, usually around the children, before the children. Second is verbal abuse. So whether you watched your parents fight, yell, scream at each other, or you're a recipient of that yelling, put that down. Now, verbal abuse also includes never hearing the words, I love you, never getting accolades or compliments, said good job, nothing, you know, not hearing that, being stonewalled or shut down parents when they're mad at you, they don't talk to you for an hour or several days because they're mad at you. Those are some of the common verbal abuses. Second is emotional abuse and neglect. Emotional abuse and neglect. And that one, most of us know what that looks like, but they also included in the study for us single moms, and I was one of them, when we went off to work 9 to 5 and our kids had to let themselves into their house by themselves, get their snacks, start their homework till we get at home. That's actually a form of neglect. Wow. You know, even though we were working to support our families, what could we do? Mm-hmm. But they still have fear around that, being alone, nobody's home, you know, so mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Number one, four, physical abuse, rape, or molestation. Now, that is always a level 10 trauma, 10 being the most severe, and that could have happened whether it was inside or outside of the home. Okay. Next one is abandonment, and this is a big one. And there's two types, fault and no-fault abandonment. So a no-fault abandonment would be an example if a parent dies early, if they go off to war, mm-hmm. or if they go off to work all the time and you barely get to see them and you don't know when they're coming home. That was one of my situations. I didn't know, my whole family didn't know, but my dad was like James Bond. He worked for the CIA and FBI. So as a little kid, I'm always saying, Mom, when's Daddy coming home? She said, well, I don't know. And she was kind of angrily around it because she never knew. Mm-hmm. And she's raising five kids basically on her own. So, you know, that's just a typical family. Like, I wouldn't have called that a trauma. It's just what is.
Mm-hmm.
Example, okay. Right? Okay. And a fault abandonment is if there's a divorce and let's say the father goes off and promises to see you on the weekends and doesn't, or is late, or brings a girlfriend and focuses more on her. There's a form of abandonment there.
Wow. Next so far, one. I've got all of them checked.
Yeah, people are really surprised when they hear them. They don't usually say trauma. The research from Kaiser Permanente Group out of San Diego calls them ACEs, A-C-E, which stands for Adverse Childhood Events.
I have heard
so that. So I just call them traumas. And again, from one, level one is small, to 10 is a high trauma.
Okay.
Okay, next one is... if you were adopted, part of foster care, or had to go live with other relatives or family friends, or chose to hang out at somebody else's house because it was more friendlier and loving there. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of clients like that that say, yeah, I kind of left, chucked out of my house at 16 and lived with my girlfriend's family.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is a very big one is personal trauma. And that's if you felt different while going to school, you were bullied. Overweight children, really skinny, gawky kids, if you weren't part of the popular crowd and teased.
That's a trauma?
I remember bullying being very traumatic for me.
I know, but like you don't think like later in life that affects you, but you know, we all had some huge aspect of it, right?
Huge, because that's that whole feeling, I'm not good enough. Mm. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. Mm-hmm. And that carries deep in, as a wound, yes. So that's a big one for a lot of people.
Great.
So feeling not like you just don't fit in. And for example, I had a beautiful African-American girl in my office. She goes, no, none of that family stuff happened. I mentioned this. She goes, oh, well, that's it, Rihanna, because I was the only black girl in an all-white school. I never fit in. I was always teased, bullied, never felt good enough, never felt like I fit in. So, you know, it could be any of these 10, which that for her was a level 10.
Wow. You know, I was from New York, Queens, and I was the only white girl in my class, and I was beaten up in the playground every day.
So that's a level 10 for you. That's a big one.
Didn't know. You know, we actually moved because of the school couldn't stop me. They couldn't protect me.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
I know. I was skinny and gawky. I was the one with the big, thick glasses and real skinny, and then I actually won a modeling scholarship in eighth grade. It was $500 and it was so expensive for my family of five. I could never go. And I wrote my heart out. Like I always loved writing then, and today I'm a best-selling author. So it started while I was young and poured my heart out and I won. Like I never thought I would win. And that kind of then got me out of that gawky. It's like skinny's okay now, you know.
Model. The Twiggy days, right?
Life, I had a model and talent school, you know, and worked with people age 5 to 85. It was real people models, and I had people in films and on TV commercials and Law and Order and all that stuff. So, you know, it became part of my life, but it was also part of rescuing me out of these, you know, terrible sadness while I was a young girl.
Wow.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, bizarre, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one, sibling trauma. Now, this is if your sibling might have been born with an illness or complication, if they developed it later in life and got mom and dad's attention. But most common, it's if they were perceived as the golden child. So you were perceived them to be either more attractive, more intelligent, more athletic, and they got more of mom's and dad's favor. Okay?
Right.
So that's a big one often. Now, this next one has become huge, especially in today's world in the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I combined two of them. Later down the list was community trauma, and number 9 for me is family trauma. So family trauma is if you grew up in lack or poverty, remember struggling, there was never enough money, or a lot of fights around money. If a parent was incarcerated, if... you lost your home by flood, fire, you know, mortgage crises in 2008. A lot of kids were displaced out of their home. But community trauma, this is the mass shootings. This is like big floods and hurricanes, mass fires. Like look at what happened in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all the people's homes ruined and these storms today and fires and mudslides and you know, of course this is devastating for adults, but can you imagine our little people?
I know.
Their immature minds, and how do they handle the trauma? So that stays in, like I said, it's cellular, it stays in the brain and body. And there's a fear-based negative thought process that goes on. So part of my training is, you know, making that unconscious that's stuck in there, making it conscious and then dealing with it. And I'm monitoring them in life and love as we go along to make sure those fear-based thoughts aren't, you know, making their decisions for them. So then the last one is a big one too. It's a mental health issues in mom or dad. Now, in our generation, nobody went to counseling. Our parents did not go. Mm. It's funny. I remember my mom saying, I think I should go to a counselor when I was really teased. She goes, nobody in our family will ever go see a counselor. And I said in my head, then I'll grow up and become one. You know, revenge is sweet, right? So, yeah, so it's like the most severe is borderline and bipolar. You know, narcissism was really never talked about back then, but borderline is always involves a narcissist. And borderline is, I describe as fast trigger anger. Sometimes when they're good, they're great, but when they're bad, they're horrid. They're always walking on eggshells. You don't know when they're going to explode with anger. They get angry over the stupidest little things. So it's very moody, high reactive, fast trigger anger. That's borderline. And risky behaviors, very impulsive. And then bipolar is manic depressive. And depression can come out as anger, checking out emotionally, or going towards some addiction to self-heal, like drinking to get rid of depressed thoughts, which of course only makes it worse because alcohol is a depressant.
So then we go back to number one because they're...
Hello. Yeah, it's a big spiral. So those are the 10 that I talk about. There's more, but I talk about those usually in my interviews because most people can relate to some of those 10. Now, the research shows at least 90% of people have at least one ACE, at least one. Mm-hmm. And many have 3 to 5, 3 to 6. If you get up around 8, 9, and 10, if there's no work around that, sometimes this is the person that's sociopathic, which means no empathy, no lack of remorse. Very narcissistic, all about self, all about it's what I want when I want it. And they are people from severe childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
And the important thing to know is people of trauma attract people of trauma. Mm-hmm. Because initially these relationships tend to be very passionate, romantic, you know, high attention, a lot of texting. And if you were someone that didn't have a lot of love growing up, like, wow, this is great. You know, This is finally the one, or there's a lot of chemistry. And I always teach chemistry is the worst way to fall in love with someone.
Really?
Yeah.
Because everyone thinks like the chemistry is so important.
Oh no, that's the one thing that gets you in the most trouble, because your chemistry is your unconscious pull to what you know, which is your normal. So like you have a lot of women that say, you know, I grew up with an alcoholic father. I never would have consciously ever chosen an alcoholic. And why did I?
Right.
Because it's what you know. It's he's still the personality type. Wow. Your unconscious is very pulled to the past. And this is why these relationships keep happening over and over again. So. Wow.
So yeah. how do we like heal from these traumas? You've just listed things that, as you said, most people will have at least one. Yes. How do we move past that?
Well, this is where my study comes into. You know, I wanted when I was getting out of that toxic relationship, I started to do this research in 2011 and 12 and 13, and started writing my two books, and then my workbook is 200 pages that I use with my coaching program. So it's step-by-step realization of what the traumas were, acknowledging them, bringing them into the open, and then together with me as your coach, we get you back out there dating. And then I really teach you the awareness, the exact skills you need to date with confidence, what you're looking for, the questions to ask. And at the same time, we're working on your life goals. Where a lot of people get stuck in life or afraid to move forward or always wanted to do this business, but they were afraid they couldn't start. These are a lot of the people I work with. I work with a lot of college students that get out of college and they're just stuck. Mm-hmm. They're frozen. We call it failure to launch. They're just at home. They're depressed. They don't know what they want to do. These are the kind of people that I'll work with too. So, we do a lot of different exercises, many, and my people are in training from 3 to 6 months with me. Mm-hmm. And these are all exercises based on my research or from my clinical trauma program.
Oh, great. That is really important to know that this doesn't happen overnight.
Right, right. Yeah. And the good thing to know is, too, that there's definitely, you can solve this. There's definitely solutions. And I describe it like a rainbow. Okay, so my favorite comment is you can't change what you don't understand. So that's this part. This is where I was like, what is going on and what does this guy have? Right? Like, I had no idea, you know? Mm-hmm. And like I said, I have a triple master's in psychology. It's never talked about. So when I started doing the research and I knew what to do to start helping myself, I saw this in all my clients. So I started coaching them through this and we were all kind of on this path. So they did better than they slip, then they do better than they slip. And then by the time they get to the other side of the rainbow, they totally get it. Mm-hmm. And after 6 months, it just becomes a way of life. 90 days, they're pretty good as far as it's like an addiction. Breaking an addiction, all rehabs say 90 days, right? Mm-hmm. The substance out of your body. But then 6 months to make it a way of life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my VIPs that want the most transformation, these people can text me, they can email me, because the most important thing about someone with trauma is as it's happening, they need to know the answers as soon as possible.
Right.
So it's very highly supportive coaching. Mm-hmm. And I do. It's not like a therapist, you got to wait 10 days to get your answer.
Right.
Like, Rihanna, this just came up for me. How should I handle it?
Right.
You know, I'm feeling very panicked. I'm about to go on my first date. What do I do? Or I got a lot of texts from the ladies' room. Rihanna, you said this and this and this. I see you on the date now. And I tell them how to respond and what to do.
Uh-huh.
So it's really fascinating, but then they learn all the skills they need for themselves and they empower themselves to be able to do that on their own.
So we've learned what our problem is or what core things have happened to us that have affected us, not our problem, but things that have baggage that's come along. And we know dysfunctional. So how do we know what a healthy relationship looks like?
Okay, that's section 4 of my book, and this is what I teach in part 2. So the emotionally healthy evolved and conscious relationship, this is what I teach. So evolved means being your highest and best self. Mm-hmm. So I do have a spiritual component to my program. Mm-hmm. And we're always checking in, is my thought, words, actions, and deeds for the good of all. So we're always checking, right? This is called being evolved. It's a very conscious awareness about everything you do. 9.5 out of 10 people go about their lives every day totally unconscious, just acting from whim. We don't. We think about what we do and if it's the best move for us and others. So that's being consciously evolved or aware. And that's conscious is, that's why I say conscious and evolved, right? Relationship. So, you know, there's different things. So when you're in a relationship, you know, you need to know what your requirements are, the black and white issues. We define them, your wants, your needs, your desires, the relationship dating plan, you know, where you're going to go to meet this person, how do you do it? I even help my people write a dating profile because definitely there's a way to do it and then there's a way to do it to be successful and date great people. So me being a writer, I review and edit everybody's profile there. So, you know, we have to identify all those. For example, a young woman that says, comes to me, Rihanna, I want marriage and a family, and I'm just meeting a lot of toxic guys that want hookups, right? I hear this a lot. So we have to define that she definitely wants marriage and a family. Then what else are her requirements she won't negotiate on? So once we know them, mm-hmm. then we write that profile around that, and we become very particular. And she learns to ask the questions to make sure, instead of wasting time or getting emotionally involved and then hurt, you know, wasting time with someone. And then by the questions they ask and how they answer them, you get to know the levels of where this, you know, the childhood trauma comes in. But there are certain things that we're watching out for. Mm-hmm. You know, any level of control or jealousy. Control comes from when you're younger and you feel you have no control in your household. Mm-hmm. Now, control can be good at work. And this is why I work with a lot of successful businessmen and women. Mm-hmm. Who are very successful in their careers, but struggle and suck in love, okay? So it's like, why do I get it right over here and I don't get it here? What is happening is they have their ego gratification and needs come to fruition that they needed as a child come through work. Okay. Okay. No, I was one of them.
Makes sense.
And a lot of us become workaholics because we love our work and we put all our heart into work. And it's usually altruistic or helping others, you know, because it makes us feel good, right? So then, you know, why do we struggle in love? And actually, I have an hour masterclass going on April 5th on that topic. So please join me. You can sign up on Facebook, Coach Rihanna Milne. But there's a lot of different reasons under that. And here's an example. Everyone knows Steve Jobs, right? Brilliant man who developed Apple. And I was just watching his second biography the other night on Netflix. I love biographies. You know, how did someone go from child to very successful? I've been reading biographies since I was a little girl. And his story in this particular documentary, he said, you know, he said in his words, whether it was from his book or whatever, that as a child, I remember going back and forth between two families who didn't want me.
Wow.
Most of my whole childhood was about feeling unloved. So look at what this man became. He attached to things.
Right.
Right. And then he was like almost obsessed to create something where he would get accolades and love through products. So it also came out that he had a daughter and he had very little intimate connection with her as a dad.
Oh.
In most of her early years, he could not bond. Mm-hmm. He was not shown love and bonding as a child. So this is typical. Now, research shows childhood trauma goes through the generations.
Right.
And that would be this story of his family. So it's very interesting, though. You know, he's difficult. A lot of people with childhood traumas have fast moods. We call it blurting out. And I won't say which politician, but it's a very high level politician who blurts out a lot. Okay. and people are like stunned, like, why do you say that? Okay. And a very good example was during a debate where he said something about one of the news anchors and it just comes out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this politician was someone of childhood trauma. And I remember the newscaster saying, do you think he has a mental illness? And I walked by the TV, I said, no, he's a product of childhood trauma.
Mm.
So it's very easy to see it. And when you know this information,
right.
My clients know this, they can recognize it. And then when they're dating, they can see it and hear it. And they know on date one or two.
Wow. That's so important.
Very empowering. And then, you know, dating becomes a numbers game and there aren't enough emotionally healthy people. Now, everybody's got a little something, but have they worked on it? You know, let's say someone said, I grew up, you know, angry at my dad, but years ago I forgave him. We have a great relationship now. That's something that's usually pretty healed.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone says, oh, I hate my mom, you know, I barely see her. I don't want to see her. Now that's in my book, I call him a mother hater. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a guy that barely ever will respect his woman.
Wow. So you can pick that out on the date. You could start to decompose their mask, in other words.
Absolutely. So, you know, someone that has a lot of humor. I did a paper at Penn State for my bachelor's, which is in broadcast communications, before I even knew this stuff, okay? And I did a research on comedians. And they all have come from depressive and tragic childhoods. And I focused in on Charlie Chaplin. I don't know why, but I did. And very traumatic childhood. So when people say, oh, I love people with a great sense of humor, I'm like, watch out. Because what the little child did who didn't get love at home, usually we go in and be the class clown to get accolades and love from the classmates. Or the little boy that might have had the alcoholic angry mom would go into school and charm his teacher and feel love from that female. This is a man that will often cheat on his marriage.
Wow.
If the wife isn't perfect, well, she doesn't love me. This waitress loves me. You know, it'll be if the woman's a high-powered executive, he will normally choose who he perceives to be an underling, either economically or...
You mean like a porn star?
What's that?
Like a porn star?
Well, yeah, of course. But no, I mean, I'm saying someone that doesn't have a high income.
Right.
Someone that would look up to him.
Right, exactly.
So if a high-powered woman is with a man that's a little less than in income, that's a dangerous dynamic, especially if he's from childhood trauma.
Wow.
He's going to be going out looking for some woman that idolizes him.
Right. That's right.
Wow. Okay.
So, the power play.
Yeah. So I teach the difficult 19 personalities. Narcissism is one of the emotional manipulators. I teach, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde personality. Why is there fast trigger anger? Why do people have passive aggressiveness? They shut down. Someone who shuts down is someone that, say, they were really punished or yelled at, and the only place they knew they better not talk back or they're going to be whacked. And then they go to their room and just get really quiet and shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they kind of like keep it all inside. So that's going to be the passive aggressive adult. When they're angry or they're confronted, they'll just get quiet, shut down, not say anything for a few days. Then they're punishing you with their anger and not talking to you. I'll show them. I'm not going to talk to them.
Exactly. The silent treatment is a tool against people. Yeah.
And that's coming from someone who's very, you know, very much from childhood trauma. It's all stemming back, all the behavior. This is a common one for women, people pleasing. Now, this might be the little girl, let's use the alcohol mom example again, that, you know, in the morning, just to please her before school, she'd cook for the siblings, pack the lunches, clean the house, just so mom wouldn't get up grouchy and angry and hungover. And she learned, if I please mom, I'm not going to get yelled at.
Mm-hmm.
So she became a people pleaser. Then with her husband and her children, she's used to this as her normal.
Uh-huh.
Doing. And they're like, she feels resentful because it's like, well, my husband doesn't love me as much as I love him. He doesn't do as much as I do for him. My kids don't appreciate anything. So this is the overly doing, people pleasing woman that will feel angry and not appreciated. So I have to do a lot of boundary work with someone like that. So everyone brings to me a different puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my job to figure out how all these dynamics come into play, what's showing up now, mm-hmm. and make sure they get beyond that.
This has been so powerful. And I know that you have two books, right? So,
yes. So
what are the two books and where can we find them? Because
they are sold in Barnes & Noble store and they're rated 5 stars on Amazon. Of course, I sell them if anyone wants some autograph, but they come with my coaching program. So one is Love Beyond Your Dreams. That's the number one bestseller in couples therapy, women in spirituality, and number two in psychology and on Amazon. And it's the subtitle is Break Free of Toxic Relationships to Have the Love You Deserve. 424 pages, super powerful. And that's based on a lot of my research. Not too much of the childhood trauma piece. That's all in the workbook.
Okay.
My coaching. Live Beyond Your Dreams is From Fear and Doubt to Personal Power, Purpose, and Success. That is all about the mindset for success. That is the first 50% of the course, which I do, which is all mindset work. Becoming mm-hmm. powerful, positive, peaceful
mm-hmm.
in your mind and in your life. Even when you might be triggered, you know exactly how to handle it. We call that emotionally triggered.
Right.
You know, you don't react. You don't shout out. You just know how to calmly center. And your mind is doing a lot of work correcting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can talk yourself through when someone's trying to trigger you. It's so amazing, you know. So they all are written to go together, the three books, but you mm-hmm. can't buy the workbook unless you go to coaching.
Okay, that's awesome. But you do have some free gifts for the audience, don't you?
I do. First of all, the masterclass, Successful in Business but Struggle in Love. That's next Thursday, April 5th. And write me if you need a replay tape on that. I have a free ebook that goes deeper into this, and that's at havetheloveyoudeserve.com.
Okay.
Havetheloveyoudeserve.com, and it's the free ebook about childhood trauma, and it has a test in there that you could give to your partner, your family, your friends. And then also I offer a free life and love transformation strategy session. So Tracy, for your listeners, I'll open up 8 spots. So the first 8 that write me and just mention your podcast. Tell me you heard me on Tracy's, and it's a $500 offer for single, or if you're part of a couple and you want to do it as a couple, it's a $1,000 offer. I meet you on Zoom like this
mm-hmm.
and we all see each other, and I give you up to 1 hour of my time and start putting these pieces together. So on my website, RihannaMilne.com, just click and the pop-up comes up. Just tell me a little bit about your story. I get that letter. Nobody else sees it. So it's very private and personal. I understand that. Then I will write you back and we will set up a time to meet by Skype or Zoom.
That is so super nice. So we're going to tell everybody to like get on and jump on this bandwagon fast, because that's a great offer. And I really appreciate it, because we need it. And there's so many people that want to move on, and I can see what you do as great. It's exactly the piece of the puzzle that we need. So
I needed this. I wish I learned this years ago. And the good thing is, once you know this, once you get this information, it's good for the rest of your life. You will use these skills for the rest of your life. And what's amazing, like my people I've coached now want to be coaches for me, and they're helping their friends. They're like, wait a minute, you have childhood trauma. You're coming up with this, and that. So like, we're all become like educators to the world, you know, and I do coach around the world, so I can coach with anybody, any of your listeners. But you know, it's time to have the life you desire and the love you deserve. So don't wait. You know, my oldest client came to me at 78, and then he said, Rihanna, and it was a male. And he goes, oh my God, if I knew this years ago, but I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life. He has a new girlfriend, you know, and he's on my Facebook, always making nice comments, you know, he's adorable. So, I mean, just don't wait, like get the information now, invest in yourself, say yes, and help yourself feel amazing about yourself.
Well, that is perfect. Thank you so much for joining us on this video and podcast. And we will put all the links to your website, to your free offers, to everything that people need to find you. So thank you so much for your time. This has been, I'm going to like play this for my father, because my mother was the narcissist and she was everything. So I think it might help him understand, you know, what the kids.
It does, because that's why I have you have a column for yourself, one for your partner, and then one for your parents, because looking at your parents, you help, it helps with forgiveness. Mm. Like, wow, I know my mom went through hell, and this is why she was cold and angry, you know? So you kind of just keep going through the generations. But the important thing is, if you're seeing your kids suffering, get them help right away with a coach that knows this. Don't just take them to a therapist, because therapists don't do this work.
Right.
Very intensive work.
It's not taught. It's not even talked about. I mean, most therapists don't even know what a narcissist is. So we need to get the help, and you are the source. So thank you for being the light and teaching everybody, because we need this. And I'm so glad that I found you. So
thank you for helping me get the message out. This is like, it's so new that, you know, and people are like, oh, finally, I know what's going on. It's like the light that we all needed, you know. So I'm working as hard as I can to get the word out. So
yay.
Helping me do that.
Well, you're welcome. And we will talk to you again, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you.